Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 286, episode 2 of Der Daily Zeitgeist!
Yeah!
It's a production of iHeartRadio. It's a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness, and it's Tuesday, May 9th, 2023.
Woo! Tucker Carlson's favorite, National Sleepover Day. National Alphabet Magnet Day. Shout out to those letters that when I learned how to spell curse words, I got in trouble really quickly for spelling fuck all the time on the refrigerator. Also, National Moscato Day, National Lost Sock Memorial Day, Europe Day, damn. National Butterscotch Brownie Day.
Ooh, Europe Brownie Day?
Yeah, I don't
know. I'm sure there's some white supremacist shit underlying that. Shout out to all the fallen lost socks.
It's the day that the European Union celebrates peace and unity in Europe.
There you go. Okay. Oh, we'll go with that. Yeah. My name's Jack O'Brien, a.k.a.
You sure?
Follow me. Yeah, follow me. I've got my Zeit. I've got my Baja Blast. That is courtesy of Fat Andrew on the Discord. Orange Crush by R.E.M. Big R.E.M. fan growing up. They were like first cool music band that I listened to. And you can tell it worked out and made me cool because I call them music bands. like a real cool kid.
Yes, yes.
And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
Yes, the L.A. Lakers original Blazian, Miles Gray, coming to the mic. Shout out to the Los Angeles Grakers. As of this recording, we are up 2-1, although game four has happened. We'll see what happened in that game. But yeah. I will say this. The response of Golden State fans has been really something to see. There was a guy, I don't know if you saw this clip, at the Staples Center when we were blowing their entire back end out. He was going up and down the stands at Staples. I will call it Staples, and I don't know what crypto whatever .com arena is. This Warriors fan was going up and down the aisles holding up a four, being like, 1, 2, 3, 4 rings, 4 rings. And everyone just starts going, 17! Yeah. 17 on you, what you talking about? And he was like, okay, I got it.
Was he like a straw man hired by the Lakers to just get owned publicly? That feels like a...
He did have the vibe of like when they have plants for like the audience cam where they're like, whoa, this guy's doing a dance battle against the mascot. He's a plant. It did have kind of like, they're like, there's no way you think 4 is greater than 17, or you are just such a new fan with the tag still on your jersey that only occurred to you that maybe 4 was the most somebody ever won in this league. I don't know.
Also, his wig is not convincing. He's just up there. I've seen that guy from the Groundlings.
Side note, I have my in-laws there in town. I got them on the Jalen Rose got fake hair conspiracy bandwagon now.
Yeah. It can't all be, right? We're all in agreement that it can't all be fake. It's just...
I don't know. It could be mixed medium fake hair. And this is the part I don't like, because before I held him up as the strongest hairline of all time, and now I don't like that we're wobbling in the perception of it. That's what really hurts me more than whether or not he is
faking the hairline.
I think it's like a situation like Olympic athletes are the greatest athletes in the world, and then they use performance enhancing drugs because to
right.
like once all the attention is on you and there's competition from other right. people with the greatest hair in the world, then he feels like he has to keep up with impossible standards, would be my guess.
It was just funny how quickly I went from like the internet. There's this dumb conspiracy theory that this guy got a fake hairline. They're like, oh, really? They're like, it is pretty strong.
And then, it's really strong.
And then they're like, then like 5 minutes in, it just turned into, I don't know. Maybe you're right. I was like, it's that easy to maybe spread misinformation out there.
Yeah. Well, Miles, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by a brilliant and talented podcast producer, esports commentator, guy on Twitch, DJ and music producer, one half of the DJ production duo Gladiator, one of the super producers here at the iHeart Podcast Network. You know him from Fake Doctors, Real Friends, as the engineer and producer of this show that super producer Justin had to assassinate in order to take his spot. Well, he's back.
Stakes is high.
And this is a direct quote from what he just put in the chat. He's, quote, back from the dead to fuck all your guys' shit up. It's DJ Danil Goodman!
I wrote all that shit. It's your boy DJ Danil, a.k.a. Mr. Steel, your aerial, a.k.a. Aloy Fan Cam Creator Gang. We're here.
Wow. Happy Aloy here. Did you really make Aloy fan cams?
I'm working on it. Wow. I'm full stand. This new Horizon Forbidden West DLC got me all fucked up.
Oh, is the new DLC just good? I switched to Jedi Survivor.
I don't blame you. I finished 2 days ago, and I'm just like on cloud nine. It was so amazing. I'm blown away.
Pardon me. Blessed. I got let me come through to your house with my PlayStation and show your son the new Star Wars game.
It's good. Nuts.
Oh, my goodness.
Beyond your wildest dreams.
What? Man, the way I'll be taking 900 droids, and I'll be like, let me smush all y'all together and then hack through you, because I'm off this. My name's
Kyle. Wait, do you have control over one of, like, the trash compactors, or you just have the force?
No, you are the trash compactor.
You'll just be like, y'all need to, all of y'all get over here right now.
Just the most force powers ever.
Oh, yeah. And, like, there was the one before Fallen Order, what was that one called that was on PS3? That was, like,
Jedi, like, Force Unleashed?
Yeah. Yes. There was one scene, Jack, where you brought down a Star Destroyer with your hands.
Damn.
It was pretty good.
That was pretty a good cutscene. Yeah, I think you had to mash the buttons to do that. But anyway, I know your kids still fire.
Parenting is just a long process of withholding things that they would like too much.
Right, so they don't lose the plot.
That Avatar 2, I feel like, would just destroy our ability to get him to leave the house.
Really? Yeah. But he likes that book, though, the technical journal?
He absolutely loves it. One of the great gift recommendations that we've ever received.
Great. I'm like, I was really waiting with bated breath. I'm like, if he's the child I think he is, like,
you nailed it.
Yeah. All right.
Cool. Yeah. He is, just always up on the top bunk with that book only an hour after he is supposed to have gone to bed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, at least it's books. You know?
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Absolutely.
We love that.
We love it, don't we, folks?
Yeah, we do.
We love it. Kids
read. Danil, how are you doing? What's
great,
new, man?
Yeah. It is a happy Tuesday. And I got a cup of tea right here. I recently switched my caffeine intake to kind of like trick my body into being more awoken by the caffeine. I think I'm just too used to coffee at this point. Yeah. Like, I was switching beans every month, and then I was like, let me just switch it up to tea again and see if that makes a difference.
You're doing this shit like people who smoke weed do. Like, man, I've been smoking too many indicas, man. Let me switch to sativa really quick. That might knock something loose.
Yes.
Is there are there like C breaks? Like, people do tea breaks?
I'm sure there are. I'm just doing, I simply cannot. So I'm just switching up the caffeine to see if it makes a difference. This is before, I'm not going to lie, I was recently at Smart and Final, and I saw, or no, not Smart and Final, I was somewhere else, but I saw the old Kirk Siggy cold brews with that panther on the can.
Yeah, that's Costco,
For a half second, I was like, oh no, I might have to cop.
Do I do it to him?
I might have to cop.
Yeah.
You're like, I had to do it to him, have uncontrollable caffeine-induced diarrhea.
Destroy my insides, but damn, would I be awake?
Yeah, I found like a loose can I had I was sitting on, and it wasn't great. It had been like years had passed since I was supposed to drink it, but when I pour that thing out, it is opaque.
Solid.
Yeah.
There's no seeing through that.
Yeah. Opacity, one of the signs that you're fucking with a strong cold brew.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Gang.
All right, Daniel, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we are going to tell the listeners a couple of the things that we're talking about. We got some new details, a new theory on what happened to Tucker Carlson as he is like threatening to launch his Elon Musk collab, his own network. There's some more behind the scenes shit. This one kind of boring and about what it seems true because it's so boring. It's just like fucked with the wrong HR lady, basically.
Hmm. Yeah.
So
don't come for the people in the C-suite. It is very like Succession-esque.
Yes.
Like Katarina, I was saying like Katarina, who was running comms for Waystar Royco, she seemed impervious to the kill list because that's what these comms people do. Like they help keep your evil empire like from the outside looking half decent.
Evil empire. So,
yeah. And know where every single body is buried.
So yeah, it ain't gonna be a us.
So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about teacher pay. We will talk about the way that pop culture is cycling back to the year 1989 in a number of ways. Like I don't know that it can be coincidental. The number of ways that it's just like it feels like everyone in Hollywood 2 years ago just were like, okay, so 1989, right? 1989. We're gonna go just make everything.
Cool.
Remake everything from the year 1989.
Just do it again.
And it's all coming out at the same time. So all of that, plenty more. But first, Daniel, we do like to ask our guests, as you may know, what is something from your search history?
All right, I'm going to take you guys on a journey here because the search history that I have here is the end of my journey. But I want to see if you guys can get there with me. So I'm going to sing you a tune right now, and I want you to tell me if you know it off the top of your head. Okay?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Baby
Elephant Walk.
Fucking nailed that shit. Well done. I had that tune stuck in my head the other day. Couldn't remember what it was called. And so,
Daniel, I'm a fucking podcaster, okay? With nothing to do except no useless shit. Like that song is called Baby Elephant Walk.
now, not to call you out, but Jack, did you know that off the top of your head?
No. I was getting there. I was like the first step on a 100-step journey to getting there, and I was not all the way there. No.
So here's the journey I took via Google search to find that song.
Yeah.
Classic honky tonk type songs. Wrong.
Honky tonk.
Honky tonk.
I don't think of that as honky tonk.
Exactly. Wrong. Yeah. That classic song that has flute and horns. Also wrong. Song from Austin Powers was not in that movie. So now here's where I took a logic.
I thought it was though. I was like, that's right. That was in there.
Song Walking Through City. Now in my head, I was like, I feel like walk is in the name of the song or something like that. And I was right. I was close, but song Walking Through City, not helpful.
Yeah.
And then we get to my actual search, Shazam You Can Sing Into. Because I was so tired of doing this bullshit that I was like, I just have to solve this by someone telling me what it is. And Shazam is insufficient for that. Now, did you guys know that the Google app will let you sing into it and it will find the song?
Wow.
So
and it worked?
It worked. I sang into Google and the first thing that came up, Baby Elephant Walk by Henry Mancini.
There it is. Now,
what humbled me a little bit was that it said, accuracy.
And you're a little pitchy, Doug.
12%. 12%. I was like, I mean, I appreciate you getting it, but you did not have to drag me like that. 12%.
You're kind of all over the place. You're all over the map here with your pitch, but I can tell that this is what you're doing. Just don't do that in front of anybody, would be my note.
Oh, yeah. Bingo. My man did the Pink Panther theme too.
Oh, wow. That's right. Yeah. Good call.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Shazam, you can sing into. And, gang, if you're like me and you have a tune stuck in your head, just pull up that baby girl Google and sing right into her. And then, boom, you got yourself
baby
a song. Baby Elephant Walk.
You could have just called me, man.
You know, I could have. You're right. I could have. And maybe that's what I'll do from now on instead of singing into Google. So
there was a time when I, like, was so into those, like, just songs like you hear all the time, but didn't know what they were called. And like back in the early days of iTunes, I had a playlist with all like those
songs.
Just weird tracks on there. Yeah. And a lot of Herb Alpert tracks were on there too. Because like there's just songs you kind of hear and like, wait, what is this one?
What are some of those?
Herb Alpert, like in the Tijuana Brass, like Zorba the Greek, Tijuana Taxi.
I feel like I'm in that I think you should leave sketch with Tim Heidecker.
Where, oh, man. And also, dude,
hit the high note with a crink in it.
Also, dude, the thing that is from Biggie, 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 Hypnotize, Rise, that sample.
Uh-huh. Oh.
That's Herb Alpert?
That's Herb Alpert. Yeah, oh, yeah, that's okay, Rise.
So that's cool.
Anyway,
I did not know that.
I was really into that kind of stuff. And when you said song with horns in the flute, I said the intro of Tears of a Clown.
There you go.
Anyway, got smoky on the brain.
Where is that song from? The Baby Elephant Walk? Like where would people have recognized it from?
When I looked it up, it was actually in an episode of The Simpsons, in the Dance and Homer episode.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it was from some it was written for some movie that I can't remember right now, because when I looked it up, I saw the Homer thing and I was like, that's where I must have remembered it from.
Or okay. Hatari, the 1962 film.
There you go. That I undoubtedly have seen hundreds of times.
No, yeah, I've not. Yeah, I think I knew it from like The Simpsons and then just it being like throwaway music that people use for like comedic bits.
Exactly.
Right. Okay.
That and Spanish Flea.
Okay, yeah, I know that one. That's like the whole music when they like cut to when like something goes wrong in the show and then they like cut to like we'll be right back.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Bingo.
All right. What is something you think is overrated?
Overrated.
By the way, your search history could be an entire podcast.
I appreciate that.
Thank Nobody you. Would yeah. listen to it. But it, no. It would be. It could be its own.
It's well, called, you could have called me, man. You could have just called me. You could have just called me, bro.
My overrated is special seasonings. And what I mean by that is having, you know, a spice drawer full of things that are like your like crazy barbecue rubs or these like, you know, wild, you know, flavored salts and stuff like that. And the only reason I say that is not because it's not useful to spice up your food. It's that all of those seasonings are simply combination of seasonings you probably already have in your spice drawer.
Mm.
Like one of the things that I made recently was my own Cajun seasoning. Because it's like five ingredients and you have all of them. Yeah. It's not that I don't want to go and buy Cajun seasoning or something. It's just that I have all this shit already. Like, why not just make it? So I encourage you, look at the ingredients on the back of some of your spices and be like, oh, damn, I'm literally holding on to this, which is just these five things that I already have in my spice drawer.
Right.
Just do that. Do that. Yeah. And save yourself some money. And B, they're probably higher quality ingredients when you're getting them as the individual ingredient itself versus getting them in some like congealed whatever.
So you're like
throw some sawdust in to fill up the
exactly.
Fill up the bottle a little cheaper.
You're a spice apothecary. You just cook. You're mixing it up. Mixing and blending on your own. Yeah. Wait, so what? Wait, so you won't buy specialty spices now? You're just saying I can cook up my own, or you're just saying if you ever feel like you have to go out and buy it, first check what it is, because chances are you might be able to just make that shit on your own.
I'd say it's more column B, but certainly a little bit of column A. I mean, there's definitely some that we had in our spice rack where I was like, why? I feel like we probably could have made this. And then we were just, you know, as we're looking up recipes and whatnot, somebody had a homemade Cajun seasoning. And I was like, this is bullshit. We have every single one of these things. Let's just make it. And it's fire.
Garlic, paprika, cayenne.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Salt, pepper, oregano,
90% of me cooking
thyme. Onion powder, thyme. Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm. 90% of me cooking is Googling like an ingredient and then replacement, and then just finding out what the closest thing is to that, because I don't have that ingredient.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Or it's behind 30 layers of old spices.
Exactly.
And not the cool, good smelling old spice that I wear every day, but the old spices that
an aftershave I get from
crowd my spice rack.
Exactly. Have you seen have you seen the old spice in the bottle?
The like old timey one?
Yeah. I saw this shit recently. I thought it was a joke and I was like, oh, that's right. That's how this shit started. And I was like, okay. In my mind, I thought this was a prank on me. Like, nah, they're the deodorant company that do those weird ass commercials, not the old like. This shit was Old Spice, is how that felt.
Old Spice. It had four more L's in the label. Old Spice.
No D's. Just an Old Spice.
Yeah.
Love it.
What is something you think is underrated?
This is a boring old head answer, but flossing. I've been flossing every day, and it feels great. Not only does my mouth smell better, it feels better. And yeah. It's something that I underrated for way too long, thinking it was something that I had to do for a week before I went to the dentist. So that, exactly, yes, the dancing. Thank you, Miles.
I thought you meant flossing like that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That, yeah, underrated. Like, underrated is just Fortnite dances.
Yeah.
No. But
shout out Donald Faison on that.
Shout out Donald Faison, the OG.
Got ripped off.
Yeah, exactly. You know, he never complains about that. Anyway, yeah, flossing is something that I do every day now, and I don't regret it, and I'll never go back because it feels fucking great, and I recommend that everybody do it.
Yo, yeah. You know what I started doing?
What?
Tongue scraping.
Tongue scraping is huge.
That's tongue good. Scraping is the game changer. That shit, I was like, man, I've been abusing my fucking mouth. Like, not getting at it with this tongue scraper. That's
Do you have a tongue scraper, or do you just brush it with your...
I got one that's like, I have a terrible gag reflex. Like, if I even try and brush my molars, I'm like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
That's how you know it's working. That's how you know you're working hard enough to get your mouth smelling good, is when you almost throw up.
But I have one that's like a stainless steel, like, ring, like a thing you hold on both sides, and you just put your tongue in, and you like, hey, comes right off.
Huh. Oh, man. That shit that comes off of there, not great.
What do we call
not
that? Great.
I don't know. Smug?
Yeah.
It's gross.
It's definitely,
what was the name of that baseball team from the Simpsons?
The Spungos?
That's what we call it. Yeah.
Football team, and they're playing football in the Super Bowl.
Thank you.
First of all, the fake there's tickets. No such team as the Spungo.
Yeah, when you get that Spungo off your tongue, man.
Exactly.
Spungo off your tongue-go, and it's... all bets are off. Yeah.
There you go.
Good news and bad news about flossing is that, like, once you start doing it regularly, it no longer is things stop coming out as much.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
And you stop, like, bleeding, which now I'm like, am I even really flossing?
Right.
Like, am I really the blood? Earning the clean gums that I have been working for here? But I too recently, like within the last year, started flossing every day. And
hell yeah.
It's straight game changer, dude. I got to tell you.
Game changer, bro. I'm not going to lie. The high I got when my dental hygienist went, wow, so are you flossing more often?
Unmatched. Yes, queen I am.
I walked outside. It was like there was a parade for me down the street. They were all like, he's the man of the hour. Yeah.
Like, they're like, that's him. That's him.
I am him.
I'm him.
Just wetted a three.
And I will not talk about the check-in with my dental hygienist that got me to start flossing every day because...
Oh, God.
Oh, right, because they fell back and hit their head, right?
Yeah. We are currently in litigation, so we're not going to talk about
it. Yeah. I mean, it is a landmark case that would define, like, what is actual, like, you know, like, assault. Like,
yes,
through definitely. Your own negligence, that is assault? Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. The less said about that, the better. Let's take a quick break, and we will be right back.
Spungo off your tongue-go.
Spungo off your tongue-go. The other good thing about the tongue scrapers are also the makeshift shaver when my kids want to shave with me, like when I'm shaving.
Oh, yeah. Oh, do you have like the little plastic one?
Yeah, the little plastic one, and so they pretend like they're shaving with that.
Yeah. That's fun. That's fun.
And then the tongue scraper tastes like shit for a couple times. But
then their cheeks smell like shit.
They have horrible bacterial infections on
their just caked on
weird
their little
strips
jaws.
Down the side of their face. Oh man, I didn't really
can't even kiss
that.
My own kids, man. They're disgusting.
Again, the gag reflex. That's how you know the love is working.
Yes.
Yeah. When you have to get a little gag reflex before you give them a kiss.
Come here, son.
All right, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
And we're back. And Tucker, the people, this is like the Zapruder films of firing. Like, we're just
adding little blocks.
Yeah.
Yeah. We didn't know.
Said like a real JFK assassination expert, the Zapruder films of firings. But this is, there's a lot of theories as to what happened here. And I don't know. So Rolling Stone gave us the genre of this one is Succession episode.
Yeah, they've been scratching. We've been just trying to figure out what has been going on with the firing, because, you know, we're like, it couldn't be because he was racist in private. Like,
surely
that's
not.
That's what
you pay him to do live on TV.
And then like, or that he's like a misogynistic piece of shit. I'm like, that's pretty much most on air talent at the network from past to present. Mm. But yeah, this Rolling Stone piece, a little more context, a little more texture. It sounds like Tucker was feeling himself since his ratings were so high through the roof, and that even with like the occasional advertiser exodus, he was still like top dog at the network. And I guess he thought he was basically Fox News himself, and that anyone that got in the way, like in his way, would lose. And his biggest beef while at the network was with the head of communications for Fox, this woman named Irina Briganti. And she has been down with Fox for a minute and has been doing all the dirty work of like coming at reporters who report unflattering shit about the network, blacklisting certain journalists, even if they like said one thing wrong about Fox, like, oh, you'll never work for us ever. Like, I keep a list. She was Roger Ailes' mouthpiece, okay, and like continued after his ouster. And like, when you think about like what, again, like with Succession being loosely based off of, you know, the Murdochs, like this, it sounds like this person is Katarina, okay? Mm-hmm. Like, and Katarina is not maybe as aggressive as this woman, Irina Briganti, is, but apparently, like, one of those people who knows everything about the company, has done everything to keep the company, like, you know, in decent shape in the press, and has been a very loyal servant. And I guess due to her loyalty to the Murdochs and her record of service, she's basically unfuckwithable at the network. Wow. Just like it, like there's like no way, because this is the person who cleans up all the messes. Like when Hannity fucks up, she's got to clean the messes. When O'Reilly's fucking up, she's got to clean the messes. That's what she does. And she gets in front of all these pieces and all that. So because of that, I guess Tucker thought that she was food and figured he could make a case for, you know, for her being shown the door. And this is just from this Rolling Stone piece. Quote, the sources say Carlson made his case to Fox News CEO Suzanne Scott, Fox's chief legal officer Viet Dinh, Murdoch family heir and Fox Corp CEO Lachlan Murdoch, and even other Fox News personalities such as Sean Hannity. Basically, Carlson, quote, Carlson argued Briganti spent too much time badgering on-air talent and the channel's personnel, and that she was generally incompetent and mean-spirited, and that she regularly engaged in dirty tricks against him and other hosts and contributors. One current Fox source with knowledge of the matter described the Carlson-Briganti feud as an intra-network death match.
Damn, son.
Damn.
So it sounds like, again, like I said, the comms person's like, yo, Tucker, you like go easy with the with all this wild stuff. We're losing advertisers, or like we need to figure out what's going on. He basically took these kinds of words from the person's like, I'm the one who has to clean up the fucking mess. So can you work with me here? And he's like, I don't like her.
Yeah. She wasn't nice about the mess I made her clean up. She kind of sighed under her breath. He's just like one of those people who's never happy. Like,
yeah,
he's got that Trump thing where he's just not happy unless he's like fucking with somebody or,
right,
you know, in a fight of some sort that is helping him, you know, feel better about like, well, I'm OK, so I'm the biggest dog at the network.
Right.
But like, how do I keep getting wins for my ego? You know?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that seems like the next like logical step. If you are like beaten, aka fired from the network, your next fight is with who has quote unquote betrayed you. And so he's just like trying to take it out as much as possible. But I'm guessing, I mean, you know,
but he's been trying to do this since 2020, apparently.
That's yeah. fucked.
Trying to so get her fired. Up. And apparently everyone who's so who works at the company and knows anything was like, bro, Tucker, you don't want this smoke. Another person who spoke anonymously to Rolling Stone said, quote, he really thought he was going to make a change. And I kind of shook my head. It was such a terrible idea. It was such a clear suicide mission. But then again, at the time, I guess he thought he was big enough to do anything.
Yeah, that's perfect. That's something. That's why that was a former Fox News talent.
Talent. Yeah. Someone who goes, oh, you can't come for her.
Yeah.
No, bro. That's why would you do that? So knowing that, it's not the whole story. But it definitely, like, now you add up, it's like, oh, he's got, like, he's bringing these lawsuits because of his own behavior on the set. Obviously, like, his comments just lead to more and more, like, advertiser difficulty. And he's trying to come for the neck of the comms director.
Who knows where everybody is buried.
Yeah, when you, like, I can't imagine the person who had to clean up the messes in the Roger Ailes era and beyond has little insight into the mess that we don't even know about at Fox.
Damn.
So yeah, at the end of the day, we're like, well, she's sitting on more information than Tucker outwardly like exposes himself for. So I think we're going to go with her. But again, he is pissed. And like you were saying at the top, Jack, there's like this Axios piece where that says like, we don't know what exactly is going on, but apparently him and Elon have had some kind of conversation about potentially working together. Without any specifics. So,
yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, that tracks. Elon is just such a sucker. He's going to try and work with anybody who's down to work.
Oh, yeah. But yeah. I mean, also someone who's like on the same sort of level of like, man, aren't these like woke people just like so annoying?
Exactly.
Talking about like pay people a fair wage or like don't be racist at your factory. Like, I'm sick of this.
Right.
And yeah, who better than the guy who's like, this is how white men fight honorably.
as
your fucking ally in that fight.
Yeah. So I feel like they're going to create like a weird, like it just, my guess would be Tucker's next move is like, I'm moving to Austin and we're going to like set up shop in Austin with like, you know, create the weird conservative Hollywood Joe Rogan.
But
yeah, in the studio next door.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right. But here's like, I'm curious now, like what the evolution of the network's going to be, right? Because since Tucker left, the ratings have been bad at Fox.
Yeah.
And so they need, that's like basically when people come to your buffet for the roast beef carving station.
Right.
And that shit's gone. People ain't going to come. They want where's the red meat at?
You're telling me Gutfeld's not holding them up?
I mean, he's holding his own in the late night part, but that's a huge hole that is left from Tucker Carlson not being there that I'm sure they're going to find someone who's like, they're probably just going to hook ChatGPT up to Mein Kampf or something and be like, yeah, man, let it rip. Do your thing.
Yeah,
and we're saving money.
It does. I think that's one of the things that's intriguing is that like the decision didn't make sense. So like, yeah, it's going to hurt their ratings kind of transparently from the moment that they made it. He's their most popular person. They didn't have like a replacement that made any sense ready to go. So it's they were just like That's why I like all of this. Like these are all things that make sense for a firing, but for this firing where it was like, we got to get this done like post haste immediately.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see as details emerge about like what happened at the dinner between Rupert Murdoch, Tucker Carlson, Rupert Murdoch's then fiance, who the day after the dinner, they called it off, and who was like Tucker Carlson's biggest fan. Like that feels like there was some personal animosity there.
But, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you're trying to come for Irina Briganti and my fiance?
Yeah, exactly.
Nope. Time to clip your wings, sir.
Not today.
But yeah, apparently there was another thing that like Newsmax was offering him more money than Fox to get him to go over to Newsmax. And Fox offered him $20 million to do nothing.
Wow.
That's pretty sweet. $20 million a year, I think, for the rest of his contract. Like, how about this? We'll pay him just
Wait, they tried to fire him, but also keep him under contract? Like,
so there's some kind of, I don't know if it was to deal with like whatever was left in his contract, but apparently there's an offer of $20 million to not work.
Like a non-compete post clause or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
Huh. Is that hole even fillable? Like, is there someone as hateful that they're like, yep, this is exactly who we're going to put in there? Or do you think this signals like an entire direct swing in the kind of content they're even going to try to put in that slot?
Jesse Waters. Would be my guess.
Jesse Waters is the most, like, he's the most available to just slip into that and has absolutely no problem saying the most vile, disturbing nonsense ever.
Yeah.
Or it's like, do they do the thing where it's like, hey, maybe we go to the minors and go to podcasting. Let's see what kind of right-wing podcasters we can call up to the big leagues, you know?
Damn. I don't think Irina Brigante is going to like what we've been saying, though. So I think we got to take our names out of the running, Miles, unfortunately.
Yeah. All right. That's fine. I mean, whatever. Look, like Ray J said, I don't care.
Go ahead and try and break.
try and break my glass.
They won't.
You can't. Ray, come on. Go ahead, break them.
You can't.
I'm gonna break them, Ray. Go ahead. I don't care.
All right.
Inside jokes.
It is Teacher Appreciation Week. Last week was Teacher Appreciation Day. Mm-hmm. And
is it their week now?
I think it's like at my kid's school, there's a Teacher Appreciation like week happening.
Oh yeah, no, so I think now. It's
just Hell yeah. So just to like give some check-ins of what that looks like. So on Tuesday, on Teacher Appreciation Day in the United States, you could get one free select meal at TGI Fridays.
Let's go.
And a complimentary Egg McMuffin at some McDonald's locations.
Wow.
So I think we're done here. Like, that's all. I just wanted to check in to make sure they were being taken care of. And it sounds like they are. So,
you know what's wild, though, too? Like, as you say this, USA Today has like a thing of like, here are all like the deals you can get for Teacher Appreciation Week.
Right.
It's like, how about like, here's the legislation that we should be supporting that will increase teacher pay. They're like, hey, man. You want to get a free Moo Moo Shake at Moo House? What's Moo Ya Burger? Like, they literally have that Office Depot, man. Like, that's so offensive where they're like, Office Depot, man, come get some fucking school discounts on school supplies?
Yeah.
That you pay for out
that
of
That you have to
pocket.
Pay for out of pocket.
Fuck
exactly.
out of here.
Yeah.
Anyway, but also, if you're going to give people free Crocs and stuff, do that, I guess, too.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I definitely don't stop doing that, but it just feels like that is the American
that's the
answer
least
to it.
That's the least corporations can do. Now, what's the least legislators can do?
This is a yes and situation.
Yes.
Not a no but. This is a
yes to my yes. I will take your free Firehouse sub sandwich.
Thank you. Yes.
And a living wage.
Right. Many teachers earn less than a family living wage, and a 2022 study found that teachers earn 23.5% less than the comparable college graduates, like people with the same level of education,
right,
going into being a teacher. One of the most important jobs in our society is like a bad financial decision. Like, I remember when I was like getting out of school, like the whole those who can't do teach, like that being just a thing that shitty people said.
Right.
But yeah, there's just a growing shortage of teachers. More than 3/4 of states are experiencing a teacher shortage, but Arizona has the answer. So one Arizona school district is building a tiny company town of modestly priced studio apartments next to the school.
Oh my God.
Company town?
That feels, we got to keep an eye on you, you know?
That feels penitentiary-esque.
Some good for school shit. Spirit. Yeah. Wow. Chino Valley Unified School District is using federal money to build 10 studio units, each 400 square feet. 400 square feet.
Oh, great.
On a vacant lot behind an elementary school where teachers will pay roughly $500. Pay? What? But at a steep discount, Miles. Just like the TGI Fridays.
Fuck.
Deal.
Yo, if you got to live in a fucking 400 square foot studio apartment and already live next to the school.
Next to your workplace.
I believe.
Within sight line.
You're supposed to be like, because wouldn't the real company township be like, and you don't have to go nowhere because we own your ass.
Yeah.
Don't then charge them rent.
That's ridiculous.
$550 per month, which is below market rate, but below. You are living at work, which is tough.
I remember when you could get a studio in L.A. in 2009. For $550.
Yeah. Below market rent is such a ridiculous statement considering that rent is so inflated right now. It's honestly, that is probably a little bit above what it should be for that amount of space anyway. So it's, to say that is just like.
Yeah, below market just means like not as greedy.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
and also 400 square feet on the premises of where you work is below market in terms of what a renter would probably be looking for. But that's not taken into consideration when people are talking about this. Yeah,
exactly.
But yeah, so teachers pay can vary widely. In some states like Oklahoma and Mississippi, teachers make an average of less than $50,000 a year. And even when you get people who are trying to address the problem or claim they're trying to address the problem, it's oftentimes in a super shitty way. You're not going to believe this, but Sarah Huckabee Sanders recently signed the Learns Act into law, which raised the minimum salary for teachers to $50,000 in Arkansas, which, first of all, below the living wage in Arkansas. Second of all, it was rushed through because the pay raise was basically a smokescreen for a voucher program that will decimate the public school system.
Aha!
Wow.
And there's Florida-like bans on discussing gender identity, sexual orientation, and sexual reproduction.
Of course.
Thrown in there.
Of course. Yeah, you come in and be like, like we've done the calculus. We can afford to raise the pay this much because these vouchers.
Right.
Are about to fuck things up on the other end that will help out a ton. Yeah, man, that's wow. It's again, like you're saying, like even when outwardly you're trying to do something right, or at least in this instance in Arkansas where she's the governor, you're still getting a fat middle finger.
Yeah. Bernie introduced a bill to make a federal minimum wage for teachers that would raise public school teacher salaries nationwide to $60,000 or higher. And of course, the GOP pushed back, claiming teachers should be paid more. But it shouldn't be left up, but it shouldn't be the big government telling them that. Right. It should be the states, which is exactly what's happening now. And it's clearly not working.
Nope.
But Biden also seems to be reluctant to make any big moves on paying teachers because, you know, he's got to run America like a fucking corporation. And so
also shame on you, man. Your fucking partner, your wife is an educator.
Yeah.
And you can't. The fuck? Whatever. I'm not acting surprised. I'm just like, well, fuck this guy. Like, you can't even. These are the easiest wins to carve out as a politician. There's no L's, again, unless you're worried about the sounds that your donors make or like dark money groups are going to make. But like, for people from their perspective, there's not a single person who's like, man, teachers are paid way too much.
Not a single person.
I just watched a video of this dude get fucking punched out by his student because he took their cell phone because they were cheating on a test.
Yeah.
And did I was like, my man took one to the eye and then the same teacher got pepper sprayed.
I was going to say, it was the same teacher?
Same teacher in Tennessee. That was the latest one. He got pepper sprayed. The clip before was when he got fucking punched out by a kid who's like, taking my phone because I'm cheating on the test. I'm like, man, the shit that people have to go through. And the lack of support, like even like that teacher who was shot by the student who brought a gun to school, they're like, oh, that's a workplace injury. That should be covered by our insurance. Yeah. Like nothing beyond, there's no other real negligence here. Hey, just what comes with the territory. Like, really?
Yeah. Biden's plan last year was to encourage governors to tap into COVID relief money to bump up teachers' pay. So,
bitch.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You need to show me the entire breakdown. I mean, like, yes, could I go online and look at the entire budget and then see where I can square a few dollars here and there?
Yeah, but it's called, like, the defense budget.
Thank you very much. It's just like, I don't know. It's just so, it's in a desperate political moment, taking these easy W's seems like priority number fucking one.
He's not desperate, though. He's not desperate. It's because they know, man, the biggest fucking gift these Republicans gave the Democrats was them going so hard on abortion.
Yeah.
So now all they're going to do is, like, we're going to codify Roe v. Wade. No, you're not.
Yeah.
Going to keep dangling that shit because it's such a powerful, like, motivational mechanism that you've stumbled upon by accident. Yeah. And that's why I'm like, I don't know. Like, get ready for barely any promises 2024.
Yeah, but I don't know. I mean, you know, I agree with you that it may not be as, like, desperate, but it's still just, it's, I feel like the bigger a swing, or rather the more, because the pendulum just swings back one way versus the other. You know, you go from Obama to then Trump, and now we're, like, looking at Biden, but, like, giving us an extra push the other way since we are not in such a desperate political situation to maybe get Biden in 2024 is just, like, why aren't we thinking to do as many positive things as possible so that the swing back the other way isn't so drastic? Because it's just like, I feel like it's just setting it up for an even harder pendulum swing the other way to get whoever it would be in 28.
Well, we talked about this. It's because there's this, like, because of all the consultants and that have been working on decades on electoral politics, it's like it all follows this same thing of, like, you speak slightly to the left, you don't deliver on any of it.
Yeah.
And that's how they nudge it a little bit more, is by saying whatever in the primary and then in the general.
The shift,
and then don't
strategy.
Deliver on it. Yeah. And again, because they know at the end of the day, the thing that they're like, man, we don't really even have to do this because what the Republicans are proposing is so terrifying.
Right.
That it's more just to be like, yeah, we don't have to don't promise too much. And that's what's so cynical about it. Yeah. And there's also that, like, really dumb accepted wisdom of, like, don't go too far left. Yeah. You know, in a re-election bid, you don't want that to happen. You don't want to get in over your skis promising this stuff when meanwhile we're in, like, when you read the climate of, like, just the tone of the room and what people are asking for, they want this shit to go left.
Too far left. Pay teachers $15,000 more a year. Far left.
Yeah. And that's what's wild, right? Is, like, they've co-opted just to be able to say, like, oh, it's too much. It's like, no, what we're saying is, like, the bare mini.
Truly. Yeah.
There's also evidence that this strategy of just generally gesturing towards Trump might not be working. I mean, it's a fucking poll. So polls, who the fuck knows? But he's apparently, according to a new ABC News Washington Post poll, set to lose by 7 points in a hypothetical general election against Trump. So all the, like, this is the smart move, and he's just being like, what do you want to do? Have Trump in there? And Biden's like a shoo-in to beat Trump. I think that's probably not the case. Like, everybody assumes that, you know, whenever, like, the same thing that happened last time is going to happen again. And it just, that never is the case.
Right.
Everyone, yeah.
And I think for as much as Biden isn't Trump, that's not enough for people.
It's not. Mm-hmm.
It's not enough. Mm-hmm. People are way too in tune with what they are owed and what their situation looks like that they're like, you can't just be like, I don't know, man. Like, we got to do better. They're like, hold on. You make the decisions.
Yeah.
Right.
Actually.
Yeah.
And we got to do better. That's why you got to vote, man.
Hey, and if Biden's physical state didn't have him looking like the fucking Nazgul up there, I would be a little more be like, well, you never know. Maybe he's got some new tricks up his sleeve. But my man is like, he looks like he's about to blow away, like he's threadbare.
Got nothing going on.
Was that Jerry Seinfeld who just came in there for a second? I feel like I just heard Jerry Seinfeld pop in.
What'd he say?
I forget what you were saying.
Look at looks like a Nazgul. Look at that guy. He's so old. His hair looks like spider webs.
All right, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring the Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
And we're back. And Bong. So is the year 1989. This summer poised to be the biggest movie summer in years because of the pandemic, obviously.
Things My were best year.
Pretty quiet.
Your best
so
year.
Yeah, 5 years old.
Wow. Yeah.
It's killing. I have Batman bike shorts I will wear every day. My parents had to
Batman bike shorts is such a specific vibe. Like, that was That was when Axl Rose started wearing bike shorts as like just a thing, like t-shirt bike shorts. And
Damn, that was me.
I guess that's okay.
I had them with Batman logos going all up the side of the leg. I remember my parents, like, I would fall asleep and they would have to take them off of me because I'm like, no, these are my pajamas also.
Yeah.
And like, I just, pardon me. Anyway.
Shout out to 89. I think that year did make a mark and the... You know, brain trusted Hollywood has looked at the metrics and we're like, we're just going to do that one over again because
89, this thing. All right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So biggest movie of the year, as Miles mentioned, as Miles had on his child hips, on his child legs, Batman. Shout out legs. So in place of Batman, we are getting The Flash, a new movie that according to the trailers is just basically Michael Keaton as Batman again. Like, it's full up of like Michael Keaton saying, I'm Batman.
And,
like, his first line in the movie. Also, you want to get nuts? Let's get nuts, which I guess is a line from the first one. I forgot that.
Oh, yeah.
Nuts. Also, nuts Bob, is due for a comeback.
You are my number one guy.
That was another one I said.
I remember that.
Kid.
Wait, but does Michael Keaton say, you want to get nuts? Let's get nuts? Or the Joker does?
I think that's the Joker line.
Yeah. Feels like
no, I think Michael he says
Keaton
it.
Oh, it is Michael Keaton.
Yeah.
Wow.
like his Bruce Wayne is a little, it's like, I would not want to, I guess that's true of all Bruce's Wayne, but I just a guy I wouldn't want to hang out with.
No.
Seems like kind of creepy.
A billionaire with like trauma that's like, he could just go to maybe a couple therapy sessions
for. Who collects old weapons.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyways, that's coming back. People are like, oh my God, it's amazing. Second biggest movie of 1989 was Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. This year we have what will, according to Harrison Ford, be the last Indiana Jones movie again. I think he said that about Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. Again, they have just wildly missed on the name that they've given it. Like the first three were all made sense to me. Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, too much. This one, The Dial of Destiny. Does that do anything for you guys?
No.
No, that sounds like it would do something for a 70-year-old person.
I was going to say. Yeah. It also sounds like a bad rom-com title. Dial of Destiny.
Love is one call away. I forgot to mention this when you brought up the Flash movie. There was an article that was going around last week because Ezra Miller, you know, they got all this fucking legal trouble and like all these allegations that we've heard constantly about. And we've seen it on video ourselves of if this person's just acting wild in public.
Truly wild.
The production designer of the film said that the film. Oh, hold on. I just have to find this.
How do you even come out and say this? How do you say this?
Basically said that the film looks so good that, quote, people will forget they'll forget their history of abuse because the movie looks so lit.
How do you throw yourself under the bus? Like, what is the point of falling on someone else's sword to be like, no, it's chill. All that bad shit they did, you're going to forget about that.
Yeah.
What is the point?
Because people were just asking. In this interview with the CBC, this guy, Paul Osterberg, said, Osterberg says he's not too concerned about how the story surrounding Miller will affect the film. People will forget that.
This film could star Woody Allen, and everyone would still go because that's how good it looks.
That's how good the production design was.
That's wild.
Yeah. So anyways, we got Dial of Destiny, which I'm pretty sure The Last Crusade was billed as like the last Indiana Jones movie. Mm. So they're doing the exact same move as they did in 1989. Also coming out, The Little Mermaid, Disney's remake of a movie that came out in fall of 1989. If the previous live action remakes of Disney films have taught us anything, it's that they will not be adding much to this. Like, they don't change a whole lot. This is just a skinning of like the original film with live actors and
better performers. I think we're going to get some good. I mean, the performances out of it will be better.
But
at the end of the day, you're not having to do much lifting creatively because you're like, that script we already own.
And just in terms of a straight up transposition of what was happening in 1989, they're really doing it.
Have I been on record on the show talking about my disdain for live action remakes of Disney movies? Because I know that we have talked about this in The Office for years. Basically, since The Jungle Book and Lion King, I'm not going to put you on the spot and say you share this level of disdain, but I know that you too have observed, you just cannot make these animal faces do what a Disney movie does in animation. You just cannot.
You cannot, and you may not.
And you may not.
That's why people are so mad about Flounder.
Yeah. We've been talking about Flounder and Sebastian since they announced this. First of all, it didn't work in The Lion King.
Nope.
And those are beautiful animals.
Yes.
Undersea creatures are ugly and terrifying.
Weird.
Looking, and they are supposed to, like, they're cute in the original movie, but, like, Flounder looks really
scary. He looked like a motherfucking flounder.
Yes.
Flounders, which, by the way, like, actual flounders have their eyes on the side of their face.
So what is this even?
It's a tropical fish of some sort.
Tropical of some sort.
Yeah.
It's
like, what if instead of the original round, cute-faced cartoon character, it was like a fish skeleton mixed with, like, Pete Davidson? Like, feels like
there you go.
What they've gone with.
Right. I'll say this, happy for Halle Bailey, like, getting out there and becoming the star, even a bigger star than she already is. Like, this is, of course, a huge moment for her. We will see some awesome, the music that will come out of this will be amazing, much like The Lion King. The music coming out of that was amazing, but just stop it with the animals. Like,
I wouldn't care if Flounder looked all cute in the live action version. Like, nope. That's the one thing I feel like people are like, yo, we didn't need to be that real.
Find the
cutest face.
Finding Nemo, that shit. Just yeah. It's okay if it's a little Pixar-y. Just you own and that. Also, do it.
Nobody's out here being like, man, mermaids is real. This is not how they would be interacting with the undersea life. Fuck out of here, man. Who like cares? I'm fine with the mermaids, but don't freak. I don't want to look like I'm seeing some shit that washed up on the Santa Monica beach.
True. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, truly. This flounder, he looks busted.
He looks like he's got a problem.
They say he looked like Steve Buscemi, I think is what they're saying on Twitter.
There are cuter, like with flounder, I was like, maybe they'll find, you know, as Katie Golden has pointed out on Twitter, there are cute fish. Like there are parrot fish that as long as you're not too freaked out by the fact that they have a set of human teeth up front, which, you know, takes a little while to get over. But they're goofy. They do fun stuff like there. But they were just like, nope. It's going to look like they've seen like some shit. They're going to make it look like flounder has seen some dark shit.
And also, in my own fear of not giving people enough credit, like the 3D animators who are given these jobs to work on these specific things, obviously do incredible work. And the shit looks awesome, but it is a effort completely in vain in that you are trying to recreate an emotion that is incapturable in a 3D animated space when you're trying to make something look quote unquote real. You just can't
make that flounder smile.
That was the whole point of Disney movies in the first place. To
flounder,
give them,
they had options. Sebastian was a no win, by the way.
No win.
Crabs. Crabs have never looked anything like other something than that's not a bug. Sea bug.
No.
Yeah. Sea spider.
Well, and is Sebastian going to rip his own arm off? No. But that's what they do.
Yeah, they do.
When they're in a bit of a spot, you know what I mean?
That's what I want.
Grow that shit back. Grow that shit back.
Give me that. That I will forgive it if Sebastian rips his own arm off in the movie. Give me that. Terrify some children.
Teach them about arthropods.
So up to this point, you might be saying, all right, guys, but like these are huge movies and like it takes, you know, nostalgia has a cycle. Ghostbusters 2 came out in June of 89. And later this year, I didn't know this, we're getting the sequel to Ghostbusters Afterlife. They're doing a sequel to that. And this sequel takes them to New York City. So they're really
back, baby.
Oh, shit.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's also the new Ninja Turtles animated movie, which even though the original Ninja Turtles movie didn't come out until 90, like 89 was the year of full-blown Ninja Turtles. Mm. Like this was when the serial was introduced, the TV show, the video games. By the way, this detail on the Ninja Turtles serial, I had forgotten. The serial was described on the box as crunchy sweetened ninja nets with Ninja Turtle marshmallows. Pizza-shaped marshmallows were later added. The Ninja Net cereal pieces looked suspiciously similar to Chex cereal. So they were just like, these are Ninja Nets. You know.
Yeah.
You know how one of the Ninja Turtles has a net with them at all times?
Yep.
Do this?
Classic.
No, it's not any.
Classic. Yeah. It's just, I love that marketing person be like, well, obviously we're just making this with loose Chex and we're adding our own marshmallows. Like, what the fuck are we going to call these?
They could have just gone Wheaties and talked about the similarity between Wheaties and like turtle food, you know?
Right.
Flaky like fish turtle food. There's also on TV in 2023, we're getting, well, Roseanne is already here. Mm-hmm. Quantum Leap is here. Doogie Howser dropping the second season.
Was Doogie Howser 89?
I think so. Yeah.
Wow.
Is it Who's the Boss reboot in the works? Baywatch remake that nobody asked for. Even Matlock is coming back.
Matlock, really?
Yeah.
Aren't the old... I don't know. I'll be morbid, but like, isn't anybody who watched Matlock probably, you know, not with us anymore?
I'm still here, man. That's what I've been saying for years. Matlock fans, we are still here.
Hold on.
Do not erase us.
Hey, no hate.
You're going to be on a watch list because Joe Biden is still our president.
Facts. Okay, yeah, touche.
Favorite show, you know what I mean? Yeah, he's still here.
No, you ain't wrong.
And like even like the reuniting of Matt Damon and Ben Affleck was about like the invention of the Air Jordan, which was, you know, probably hitting its original peak popularity in like 89. It's just,
I mean, yeah,
we're stuck. It's fine. It's what it is.
Did you guys see Air?
I did.
Miles?
No. I heard Michael Jordan wasn't in it, so I said, fuck that.
Yeah, he has one, quote unquote, one line where he says, hello. I loved it. I loved Air. I thought it was great.
Jack, did you?
I did not.
Damn.
Did not care for
it. I remember
it.
Him saying, interesting. I remember saying this last week.
I wanted to like it. So
iron this out. Iron this out right now.
Yeah, I want to hear what didn't you like about it? Because I'm totally, I mean, obviously, I'm completely open to that.
And you know, but we know how toxic you can get when we start debating movies.
Dan. Oh, when I get toxic.
Yeah, take a breath first. Take a breath first. We know you. We know
it,
you.
It just, I don't know. It felt thin to me. Okay. Like it opened with a montage of like 80s nostalgia that just felt like it could have been on, like like all the so needle extra. Drops were just like so down the middle 80s hit songs. Mm-hmm. The characters.
Very Watchmen movie.
Yeah, like that. The speech, the climactic speech that Matt Damon gives to Michael Jordan, like, didn't really, I don't know, it just didn't resonate with me as somebody who's like, okay, you have Michael Jordan about, like, the way that he discovers he's great is by watching and rewatching the tape of him hitting the game-winning shot in the championship game, and then, like, that's the only footage, like, what did they only license a single piece of footage of Michael Jordan playing? Because
well, they wasted like, all that money on licensing all those songs. So it's kind of right. They had to go, where was it going to be?
I don't know. It just felt like there was not. I think it's partially like as a person who grew up around basketball and who like, I don't know, like has like read books about like Jordan and what makes him different and stuff like that.
Right.
It just felt shallow and reductive. Kind of reductive.
Okay. Yeah. Wow. I think that is a completely fair take.
Yeah.
I think you were going to say, okay. What? I think like that's some old head ass take.
No, I mean, I think it's completely fair because honestly, one of my favorite things about it is that it's short. I love that it's quick because the whole thing is my thing about the movie is that if you go into that movie, I don't think there's anybody who's watching that movie unless you are like Jack and someone who has grown up with basketball or is intimately
NBA
familiar.
Brained.
Yeah, exactly. Or is just intimately familiar with like
listen to Miles how, Jack on my boosties.
There you go. Shout out Miles Jack on my boosties. But like intimately familiar with the, I don't know, the shoe game of any time before the 90s. It's like your association with Michael Jordan is probably like entwined with Nike. Like you probably don't even see Mike. You don't think of Michael with any other shoe, period. So if you're watching that movie, you're thinking about that or like getting to the end, like, well, I mean, I know what's going to happen. Like, what is there even?
I know who this guy is.
Exactly. Right. I know who this guy is. What is even the point of this? So the fact that it was so kind of like short and to the point and just, if I'm being real, I mean, Phil Knight and some of his business practices, I think, are, of course, deplorable. And
his political giving practices.
Yeah. But they use like the Nike mottos, like the core mottos that like he has up on his wall of like job's not done till it's done and like all this stuff. They use that as like they cut to that as like little chyrons that they like show you in between scenes. And I don't know, it just felt like spiritually empty to me to like tell this story about it's like, wow, Nike almost didn't become the massive international behemoth that is doing damage all over the place.
When it already was.
Right. Yeah.
It's just that it didn't become even bigger.
So is the movie, but so Jack, the movie good on an airplane? Good airplane?
I think it would be a good airplane watch. Oh, I also think I might watch it again with my wife and be like, oh, I actually enjoyed this. You know, it was just, I think 90% of my movie takes are like, yeah, I just wasn't like in a great mood. Wasn't like feeling that movie at that time, you know?
I will tell you,
we've come full circle on this take. I like it.
Yeah.
I will say that one of my least favorite things about the show, The Bear, is how much they're constantly like, Chicago. This is Chicago. And the beginning of Air, I was watching it just like, do you have to hammer this so hard
to
make the point? Because it's not like the rest of the movie isn't trying to hammer that point home the entire time. It's like at no point are you like, I wonder what time this movie's set in.
Miles, there's like a montage with people like doing Rubik's cubes.
It's
and
really
playing like Atari games.
It's
and
too
shit.
Long. It is too long and too
I get
just
it.
Like.
Well, you know what? Because you know what it is. It's not. I think in the end, it's not. it's like for us, but not really.
Yes.
Yeah. Because we were there, dude. I don't need this fucking recap, but I'm sure for like younger people who would see it, would right. be like, what the, wow, what was this time? And
I think world. That's, I almost want to say like, that is what I feel like studio notes do to a movie. Because like, I feel the same way about like any show that's about video games or something. You're watching the show and it's just like, this is annoyingly.
What is this video game?
Exactly. This is annoyingly hitting the hammer on the head. It's like, yeah, I've heard of Pac-Man. Thank you.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know. Because like, I like The Social Network, despite the fact that like, I don't think Facebook is cool.
You love the Finchman.
Like the fact that I like watched this and like wasn't on board with like loving Phil Knight and Sonny Vaccaro, like that. I've done that before. I've liked it before. It was just like something just felt like pat and sort of lazy about it to me. But well,
I mean, look, this is our time, because clearly if this feels all, with all this stuff coming back around, I mean, it's like partial studio and network laziness. And the other part is like more millennial aged people probably influencing things too. Like telling someone, like, that shit would go. Although they should be hiring us, because we got some real ideas over here.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. And also this, my take, like as far as film, like the film industry is concerned, is objectively wrong. It got an A cinema score. Everybody seems to really love this movie except for me. So I'm not. And I've listened to like even the people from like Blank Check and the Flagrant Ones, like all those people like this movie. So I don't know.
Hey, look, Jack, that's fine. That's what you as an individual, that's how you took it.
That's how it goes.
No, I'm bad. Wow. I shouldn't. It reveals check. Something bad about me.
No, Jack.
So, well, then if you're bad, then I'm Wesley Snipes.
Hey.
You think you're bad?
Thank you.
Yeah, when are they going to remake
again,
the
from
bad
my old
video?
Heads? I had to put that shit out there.
Who directed that? Was that who directed the bad video? I feel like it was Scorsese or something like that.
It was Scorsese.
Scorsese directed the bad video.
Wow.
Holy shit.
That's crazy.
That was 87. 87.
Wow.
What a time to be alive.
What a time.
Well, Miles.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yes. Miles, such a pleasure.
Oh, yeah, Miles, thanks for being on the show. Appreciate
that. Yeah, you can find him.
Daniel.
Thanks for showing up.
Oh, my bad.
Daniel, such a pleasure having you on the show.
Pleasure to be here.
Where can people also find you, to follow you?
You can find me all over the internet at DJ_DANL. Damn, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, Twitch, and TikTok. And I'm saying it here and now. I'm riding Twitter until the wheels fall off. I'm not going to Blue Sky. I'm not going to any of these other things. When Twitter is done, I'm never posting again. It's over.
What was that thing you're saying about white supremacy? No, say the whole thing.
I'm riding Twitter until the wheels fall off, and then I'm done with that shit. So if you all of a sudden see me stop posting on Twitter, it's because the wheels have fallen off entirely. What, you could say they I'm already curious, have, but huh?
Yeah, I'm curious. What for you defines the wheels falling off Twitter? Because I'm like, I'm not protesting it by taking my. I don't post enough to be like my content will live elsewhere,
right?
Because I'm using it less, and every now and then I'll look at it. But what to you, I'm curious, what is your, the wheels have well and truly come off and I'm off this?
If I were to start listing things, I think it would be pretty easy to see that a lot of those things are kind of like already happening.
Yeah.
But I think if there is a total separation of the people who, you know, we trust as like news sources and just like reputable minds being silenced in different ways, like purposefully silenced, where are not allowed to tweet anymore, and the platform truly becomes a space that is exclusively run by people who actually pay for the service, and there's no way to access it without having like bought into Elon's Twitter, I think the wheels will have completely come off.
Right, because you can still kind of get what you need to get.
Yeah,
but, yeah. I mean, yeah, I know to your point though. There's the algorithm. They're trying to game things too to keep some things less visible. But
arguably, I can still use Twitter more or less the way that I used it by just hanging out in my following tab and just not looking at the for you and ignoring every blue check because it's pretty clear who decided to pay for the money and decided that was worth it.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't really follow those people anymore.
Because now blue checks are just the people who come in with the worst fucking takes.
Truly.
And you're like, wow. Yeah. And in a way, it is funny how subconsciously you're like, oh, that must be like a professional who's in here dehumanizing unhoused people. And I'm like, no, that's someone with 14 followers
who's exactly
sending his rent money to you.
So-and-so okay. bunch of numbers, as we like to say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Daniel, is there a work of media that you've been enjoying?
There is. And I the funny thing is, I think I'm going to do the thing where you're describing a picture on the old Twitter, but I'll share this in the chat right now. There's been one of these memes. Y'all ever heard of these things? These memes?
Memes?
Yeah, I love them memes. It's where someone quote tweets a tweet, but it's a picture of like someone saying the tweet. And have you guys seen Kunk on Earth?
Yes. Yeah.
I will say, I think it's kind of a joke that only works for one episode, but it's so goddamn funny. And it's the host of Kunk on Earth saying this thing. And I think this dude is one of the guys in Chapo Trap House, I think. Isn't that who this guy is? Or maybe it's just a picture of that dude. I don't know.
It looks like it could be Virgil Texas or Jason Schwartzman.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know.
For a second, I thought it was Jason Schwartzman.
Right, exactly.
But no, it ain't.
But anyway, the tweet that I love so much is it's the woman from Kunk on Earth. I don't know. I don't think I can do the accent, but it's easy to think of Italy as nothing more than spaghetti, garlic bread, and Parmesan cheese. But a quick look at their history reveals they invented fascism. And thinking of Kunk on Earth saying that is so good.
Wait, what is Kunk on Earth?
It is a show on Netflix that you got to watch. Give it one episode. It's kind of like David Attenborough if they were just wrong about everything.
He was an idiot. Yeah.
If they were an idiot.
Oh, I love
like
that.
Ollie G.
Like a parody?
Ollie G.
Oh,
David
shit.
Attenborough.
It's a BBC show.
How the fuck do I not? Okay.
Yeah, give it an episode and you are going to fucking love
it. I'm in off that description.
Amazing.
It's really funny.
Miles, wonderful having you as well. Where can people find you? And is there a work of media you've been enjoying?
Oh, man. Find me on where there's at symbols, Miles of Gray, and also, find Jack and I on our basketball podcast, Miles and Jack on Mad Boosties, where we continue to follow the ups and downs of the NBA playoffs. Mm. Right now, it's up. It's up.
It's up. If it's hopefully, up, then it's up, then it's
hopefully
stuck.
Then it's stuck enough, yeah. And we never.
I would
down.
Love for it to be stuck, and it's up. For the Lakers, and I'd love for the current trend for the Sixers to be stuck.
Again, there you go. But like I said last time, the Sixers and Lakers played each other in the finals. 9/11 happened the following September. So if it doesn't happen, I will say that was for the good of humanity, and I will use that take till the wheels come off. You can also find me on 420 Day Fiance with Sophia Alexandra, where right now we're talking about Love is Blind, and wow, that's something else. I don't really have any tweets that I like, so I'll just say, go. Honestly, here's my thing. I'll challenge y'all. If you see somebody selling food, like we have good street vending culture in Los Angeles.
Hell yeah.
If you live in a place where your street vending culture is like emerging or whatever, I really challenge you. When you see people in your area serving up something, try it.
Yeah.
Because I bought
this
banana pudding from this lady on the street.
Banana pudding.
Oh, what? My God.
Bro, drop the link. What?
I had to hit her on her Venmo. I was like, yo, can I give you this? And she's like, oh, just use. She's like, I hit her like through her Venmo. She's like just getting started.
Does she have an Instagram?
She didn't even have none of that.
Nothing.
Send me
an address.
She said,
I love banana
pudding.
She's
just getting started. I'll let you know. Wow. This banana pudding was so good. Oof. And again, it's all. And that's what I get for entertaining, just people in your community doing something, sharing their gifts and talents. In LA, I think we're a little bit spoiled because most people who are street vending have fantastic food. I will say that. Yeah, just get out there, support your local person, just hustling.
Yeah, yeah.
As long as it's more.
You can find me on Twitter at @Jack_O'Brien. Tweet, I've been enjoying PJ Evans tweeted loudly at CVS. So basically, fuck Walgreens, right? And Colin Crawford tweeted, Midwestern colleges will all have weird slogans like, grip 'em, horkers. And it's like, okay, dude. You can find me on Twitter at @Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist. On Instagram, we have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy. Miles, is there a song that you think our listeners might enjoy?
Yeah, just some indie rock I've been listening to. We've gone out on
Dial
some
of
tracks.
Oh, different indie.
Oh, yeah. Also, whoever plays, if there's a flashback to that actor who plays Indiana, young Indy, please stay safe. Because last person to do it was River Phoenix.
Oh, yeah.
And that was in Last Crusade, wasn't it? So we've gone out on this band before, Men I Trust. Great indie group. This track is called Billy Toppy. And it's just got like a fantastic, just like driving pick bass line. But, you know, I like the chord progression. We're not getting something just real easy, like four chord nonsense. No, this is a little bit fun. So check out Billy Toppy by Men I Trust.
All right. Well, the Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That is going to do it for us this morning. Back this afternoon to tell you what's trending, and we'll talk to y'all then.
Bye.
Bye.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.